Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. On today's show, we'll hear from a pioneer in the field of sociobiology and take a closer look at an emerging food trend. Biologist Edward O. Wilson is an emeritus university research professor at Harvard. Through his lifelong research on the behavior of ants, he's transformed the disciplines of ecology and evolution, developing new theories and pioneering the field of sociobiology. Wilson, who is 82, was recently in St. Louis to deliver the keynote address at a University of Missouri St. Louis interdisciplinary conference. He spoke with St. Louis Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra and started by discussing his childhood fascination with bugs.
I began when I was about 9 years old catching butterflies and gathering all sorts of insects in Washington, D.C.'s Rock Creek Park, and never looked back. I decided I was going to be an entomologist, and I did. I had a snake period. I had a frog period growing up in Alabama, but then I returned to the insects and the ants, and I never left.
Now, you've won two Pulitzer Prizes, and one is actually for a large format, more than 600-page, I think, book all about ants. Why ants? What made you want to write such a comprehensive work about an insect that probably a lot of people don't even notice or at best think is a nuisance?
They most emphatically, and let me repeat, most emphatically should notice, because ants are the dominant insects of the world. They make up something like three-fourths of all of the biomass of all the insects. And they dominate the environments that they're in, the land environments.
What's in a 600-page-plus book about ants?
Everything. It is the reference work you want to use if you want to find out anything about ants, at least known to 1988. And most of that information is still solid. I mean, has not been superseded.
You also pioneered the field of sociobiology. What is that, and why is it significant?
Sociobiology is the scientific study of the biological foundation of all forms of social behavior in all kinds of organisms. And I put that together in the late 60s as part of a review of all the social insects I did. Before we did the ants, I did another monster book called the Insect Societies that dealt with that. And then in 1975, a third monster book called Sociobiology, the New Synthesis, in which I put together just about everything we knew about the evolution and nature of societies. And sociobiology is now much accepted mainstream discipline of biology.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra speaking with biologist Edward O. Wilson. Bacon is everywhere these days. You can find it in salads and cupcakes, on Band-Aids and T-shirts, even shaped into roses and hats. And it doesn't appear to be going away soon. KBIA's Sarah Tucker has more on this ubiquitous food trend.
Bacon's the best. Even the frying of bacon sounds like applause. It's like, ah! Yay, bacon!
Comedian Jim Gaffigan calls bacon the most beautiful thing on earth. In his 2009 stand-up routine, Gaffigan likens it to fairy dust and leprechaun gold and says the only bad thing about bacon is it makes you thirsty for more bacon. And boy, are we thirsty. Bacon, it seems, is everywhere. Besides the usual bacon products, you can also purchase bacon-flavored lip balm, bacon-scented cat litter, and, for the truly devoted, a bacon coffin. What once was a food trend has morphed into a cultural phenomenon, and it may be here to stay. Bob North, president of three pork-producing units in the Lebanon and Eldon areas, has worked in the pork industry for over 20 years. He says the bacon trend has been on the rise for a long time.
And the bacon, up to about the last 15 years, wasn't as important a cut. It wasn't as expensive a cut. It wasn't as one that was used quite as much. But now, for the last 10 or 15 years, bacon went from just being a breakfast product to it's served three meals a day on something somewhere in the world.
Food trends like bacon don't just start or end overnight, however. Jeff Gwynn, an instructor in the hospitality management program at Mizzou, says there are two types of culinary movements, fads and trends. Culinary fads start quick and fizzle out just as fast. Food trends, however, have staying power, possibly due to innovation, versatility, or even nostalgia.
Bacon, I mean, it's just one of those that almost every non-vegetarian or anyone that eats pork products can kind of relate to. I mean, it's got one of that nostalgia type flavor to it. It's you smell bacon and you taste bacon, and it can trigger your childhood memories of eating breakfast with your family or whatever.
Gwynn says culinary trends tend to move from fine dining to casual restaurants, and many fast food restaurants have already jumped on the bacon bandwagon.
And happy Baconalia.
Baconalia?
Mm-hmm.
Why, it's the sacred festival of bacon.
A crispy feast of epic proportions.
In 2011, Denny's promoted Baconalia, a celebration of all things bacon. And then there was Wendy's Baconator, back in 2007. Now, fast food restaurants are getting even more creative. Burger King debuted a bacon sundae earlier this month at select Nashville franchises, and Jack in the Box introduced a limited-time bacon milkshake in February. Sally Stegman, a nutritionist at the Women's Wellness Center in Columbia, says that culinary trends aren't necessarily about health, but about taste. Bacon, while not a health food, can be part of a healthy lifestyle.
Well, you know, they're always going to be different food trends, different culinary trends. Healthful or not is a good question. Again, with the cupcake trend, well, are cupcakes necessarily healthy? Not really. I guess you could make them more healthy depending on what you put in them.
Those wanting to try a unique bacon dessert can stop by Sparky's Homemade Ice Cream in Columbia. Occasionally they offer maple bacon ice cream with bacon that is cooked, candied, and chopped by Broadway Brewery. Marion Nguyen has been working at Sparky's for 2 years and says it was created a few years ago by a former manager and serious bacon lover.
A lot of people like the idea of bacon and ice cream. It's like the ultimate guilty pleasure. But a lot of people get turned off by it too because it's meat and dairy if you reduce it to that. But it's not bad. It's really not bad.
But for every delicious bacon product, there's always something stranger and, to some, not so delicious product out there. Gwynn has tried a few bacon desserts, such as a bacon chocolate cake and a maple bacon glazed Long John. He draws the line, however, at bacon-flavored vodka.
As much as I like bacon, I don't think that would be one of those things that I would, make my go-to cocktail by any means.
In the meantime, North eats bacon on a daily basis, but hasn't tried many of the stranger bacon dishes. Bacon, as a culinary trend or novelty item, is still a food product. And it's one trend he thinks will be around for a long time to come. Sarah Tucker, KBIA News.
That's it for this week's Under the Microscope. Thanks for listening. Just a reminder that you can listen to this episode and others on our website, kbia.org.